Like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CGSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CGSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cgsf.ca.
Welcome to Cancria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And we are still chasing down our interviews around the debate, the string of not quite fleshed out regulations in Alberta around trans access in sports, healthcare, and pronoun use, etc. in schools. This echoes legislation in New Brunswick, Saskatchewan, and a bit of a debate that happened when in the recent election in Manitoba. We want to make sure we're giving it the due time and energy, and we just haven't got as far as that just yet. So we will keep working on building those, building that reportage.
Also, people are busy, and you know, sometimes they just haven't gotten back to us personally yet.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. All right, but in the meantime, I'm trying to figure out what to do with Jake, my partner Jake, this week.
Right.
Just for context, I'm sure everyone is talking about the fact that, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up.
But Luke, why don't you just go to a gay bar? That was sarcasm. I would never take a date to a gay bar if we've been together for more than like 2 weeks. I don't think that's exactly a date environment. If nothing else, because the music is always just 5% too loud. And that's not old man Sebastian speaking. Even when I was young and spry and went to the club all the time, it was still 5% too loud for me when I went there just to dance and ignore everyone else. It's always just 5% too loud, if not more. It's not a good place to have a conversation, let alone a date. So I would not encourage anyone to take their partner to a gay bar. Well, I mean, daytime is different. It's more like a pub in a lot of places, but
yeah. I mean, it could be fun. You know, I was when I was in Victoria, somebody mentioned, the drag bingo is great fun, except the bar owner, it doesn't want to acknowledge that he's going deaf.
Oh.
So your bingo volume gets turned up. And up.
Got
until
it.
Until you've got nightclub level bingo for two aces, or you know, 9 and 3, 93. I don't bingo, but you know, it's Snake Eyes. I know that one. I know Snake Eyes. But yes, I mean, unless your bar owner is deaf and makes the volume unbelievably loud, then you know, not too bad. But I would. Jake's not a huge person about going into gay spaces.
No.
And it's, I don't know, I don't want to, it's a challenge, because I think around Valentine's Day, obviously restaurants and businesses, they make a lot of money. They make,
They jack up their prices in some cases. They have a special menu just for that one day so that they can pretend like all of a sudden steak is worth $10 more than usual. Not all restaurants are like this, obviously, but there's quite a few who go through this. And a lot of it is just, you know, the market economy. They do it because they can. There's profit to be made. And why would you leave money on the table and not grab it? But there, I don't know. There has been talk sort of in various, there's so many articles we never discuss on air because it's just like talking points.
Yeah,
and this is one of those, like, where do you go on a date other than a gay bar? And I've seen a couple articles like that. I'm like, why is this a mystery? Like, where like, just make a list of all the dates you've seen in every movie ever. And it's probably fine. Go to an ice cream parlor. When was the last time you had a good gelato?
It does seem to me like some of these articles are, someone have gone to ChatGPT and literally typed the headline into ChatGPT to see what it tells you to do. I mean, we're not going to name the article because I think we're not being particularly wing in our review of it. But taking a picnic, going for a hike, explore the city on bikes. I mean,
February is a bad time of year for most of the activities that they
and also
listed.
it's cold. Don't get me wrong, Ottawa has been unseasonably warm. Canada, across coast to coast, unseasonably warm. But I think climate change, and that's probably our new reality. But yeah, no.
Climate change or no climate change, freezing rain is not the proper context for a picnic. It's
Yes.
still below zero. It's just normally this time of year, it's minus 20, minus 35 with wind chill, and now it's like minus two. So like it's unseasonably warm, but it's still below zero and
No.
raining. It's not a good place to go hand in hand walk along the canal in February, unless it's cold enough that there is no rain and that the canal's frozen as per usual. That can be kind of pleasant because then they put little coffee places on the ice and you can get a hot chocolate on skates and it's a thing, but
I
not
think
this year.
Winterlude, which is the sort of wintry festival in the capital, is happening right now as well. So lots of little
Disappointment.
coffee disappointment. Yeah, that one always jumps out at me, and it's not just this distinctly Canadian thing or just something they do at little festivals where they get like a trough. There's no other word for it. It's like a trough of snow. And then they just drizzle maple syrup onto it, and it kind of crystallizes and forms up.
And they
And then
put a
they
stick
give
in
it to
it.
you on a lollipop stick. You're like,
It's classic. Actually, in the past for Winterlude, I've gone and there have been concerts, and I remember thinking, I was actually glad it was below -5 because if it were warmer than that, then the snow would turn into slush under the everyone's feet. So you either want it to be properly cold or you want it to be above zero. But anyway, unrelated to that, yeah, there is, I don't know why there's confusion about what to do with your partner on Valentine's Day if you're in a same-sex relationship.
well, I mean, there's a lot of places I wouldn't feel super comfortable, and I'm more into PDA than Jake is, and Jake would feel very uncomfortable. So a lot of these options are not going to happen.
Well,
Like taking a bike ride around the city through potholes, puddles, and slush? No, thank you. I'm going to leave that one on the shelf.
I have a strong feeling that one of the most romantic meals you can have with your partner is as follows: chicken wings, ribs, or spaghetti. Because if you can watch your partner eat chicken wings and then look at their god-awful sauce-smeared face and still feel love in your heart, then that's romance, that there's something tried and true about, I love you even though I've just watched you eat a plate full of lobster and you're covered in grease. Like that's love,
I honestly thought you were going to suggest that our listeners have chicken wings, hot dogs, and bologna, but you didn't. You were more specific than that.
No, chicken wings are great.
So I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think it's less about spending the money, less about hiking through slush piles, and more about setting aside your concentration, setting aside what you're thinking about that day, so that it's primarily the person that you are celebrating this particular day with. Because we often, everyone is busy. Everyone is very busy. There's lots of demands on our time. Things are happening all over the place, and it's hard to focus. And I think sometimes, if Valentine's Day is anything, it is an excellent reminder to stop and focus in on your partner and really kind of dedicate a bit of time to that. To all our single Pringles out there, it's a good me day. That could even just be a bag of chips, watching some TV. You know what I mean? Same idea. All right, but is it distinctly different if you're gay or straight? Absolutely not. I think that's really the key.
I think if you live in a small town that's a little homophobic, then you could go to the local, because every township has that one very nice restaurant. They all have them. You're never too rural for that. You could go to that one nice restaurant and just not hold hands, which some people aren't into PDAs anyway. It kind of works out. I've gone to brunch with you and your partner multiple times, and I've never seen any indication that the two of you are anything other than buds. But a lot of that's because Jake doesn't want you touching him in public, and not because he doesn't want you touching him in public. He doesn't like being touched
I
in
mean, he's
public.
not a fan of it in private either.
Yeah, so
Genuinely hostile to, touch is not his love language, is really where I will draw
Yeah, I
that.
mean, anything that the two of you enjoy, you can still enjoy. I still think it's, I don't know, it's I think this in my brain, I file this under the same camp as when people use the word community for everything, when sometimes they mean to say population or demography. Like there was a controversy over the past week with the Super Bowl, and they're talking about the food allergy community being offended by the depiction of a peanut allergy in a Super Bowl ad. It's this whole thing. It's weird. It's on social media. Ignore it. It's stupid. And I have a pretty serious food intolerance, and I'm like, do not say I'm in the food intolerance community. That's it. I am a part of the food intolerance
You don't
demography.
identify with the food
No.
intolerance
And
community?
I think this is one of those things where it's like, well, what's the difference between a gay date and a straight date? I don't know. At first, the first couple dates, yeah, probably huge differences. But once you've been in a relationship for at least 6 months, probably less, possibly more, it depends on the couple, there's really no tangible difference. And the idea of specifically saying what are good gay Valentine's dates, it's just bizarro world. You're calling something community when you should just be saying population or demography at that point in time. It's like it's not that important in this context. I will defend the first couple dates are probably going to be different, but after a while, nah, calm
I mean,
down.
I think you bring up a brilliant point, and that is because when you're dating somebody, there is a lot that you are thinking about.
Oh yeah.
Compatibility, spark, etc.
Yeah.
So doing it in a location where you know being a gay couple in that space is going to be nothing out of the ordinary. So, I don't want to use the phrase, it's a safe space. It's a space where no one will raise an eyebrow if
Yeah.
you slide your hands to hold each other's hand across the table. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
little things like that. So gay bars, restaurants, things like that make a lot of sense
Two
because you're
dudes.
starting from a space where everyone's
Yeah.
like, okay, yeah.
Two dudes and two ladies will go together for tacos, or bowling all the time, and it's not a date. They're just two friends. Like that can have any situation where you would see that, where you see two people of the same gender together and you don't automatically assume that it's a date. Anything on that list is fine. The fact that you both happen to really love, I don't know, fish and chips or poutine trucks or
Exercise.
darts or VR, those full VR things where when you're in the pod, like if you love that, then yeah, like no one's gonna, they're just gonna say like, well, those are two people who are a thing, and you don't have to make out,
I
on every
mean,
date.
in all fairness here, and on Valentine's Day, I think there's a bit of an overall assumption. If I see two people doing anything on Valentine's Day, I'm just going to assume they're a couple. I mean, I think it's a carte blanche reason for the whole day, like just everybody.
Yeah, maybe, but every so often you see a girl run up to a guy and give him a big hug, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's so sweet." And you're like, "That's her brother. You need to calm down." Like, I don't know. It's in general, I don't know. I think people jump to conclusions pretty quickly on a lot of things.
So I think our takeaways for this is to our queer listeners, gay, straight, gay, bi, lesbian, all that jazz. Just go on a date.
Yeah.
The gayness of it will be you.
Really, the point is to set aside. Yeah, you mentioned this earlier. It's really about setting aside time for each other. And like, whether or not Valentine's Day is a made-up holiday by Hallmark cards or whatever, it's not a bad idea. At its core, it's a fine idea to say, here's a moment in time where you put it on the calendar, whatever you normally do, you're going to be setting aside at least a couple hours, ideally more, to just focus on your partner. I don't see that as a bad thing. Who cares about the origins? Who cares about what it's turned into? You don't have to go to the local drugstore to get mediocre chocolate in a heart-shaped box. You don't have to do that. You can do something else. It's really more about focusing on your partner, and that's fine. I think going to paintball, you know, and just shooting each other in the head with air guns, with proper eye and head protection, of course. If that's what turns your crank, then that's the perfect Valentine's Day.
Moving on to something that's not as fun.
Okay.
Somebody desperately tried to take down a flagpole in Stittsville.
A whole flagpole.
They were aiming for a pride flag. It included the scenario to imagine here is a flagpole, a flag, $20 and a cinch sock. And whilst you think about what on earth could have possibly happened there, we're going to be playing The High by Backyard Betties, and we will be back just after this.
In the morning, I wake up my sleepy head. To the mirror, I find someone else instead. Looking back, questioning all I've said. Whose reflection gives pause to disguise a shed? Quest before me, do will I find in here? Take off the layers, a faceless voice appears, invoking wisdom with words that I cannot hear. Wander aimless, distracted by flash and shine, fantasies and snake oil wasting time. Onward searching, the true self eludes my gaze. Hang on to things that will help to make me brave. Quest before me, and who will I find in here? Take off the layers, a faceless voice appears, invoking wisdom with words that I cannot hear. Go easy. Why don't you now go easy? Am I here? Am I in there? Am I? Head. Walk to the mirror, I find someone else instead. Looking back, questioning all I've said. Whose reflection gives pause to disguise a shed? Quest before me, who will I find in here? Take off the layers, a faceless voice appears, invoking wisdom with words that I cannot hear. No. Easy. Why don't you now go? Easy.
everyone. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian, and I'm curious about how do you take down a whole flagpole? Those things are about a quarter as deep as they are above the ground. Those things are sunk.
Outside of the Goulburn Museum in Stittsville in late January.
Okay.
At about, it's the pitch of night. I'm going to really kind of set the scene for you here. It's the pitch of night. Close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes.
Okay.
You close your eyes. It is the pitch of night.
Okay.
It is cold. It is wet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the museum. It's just like this white brick building with a one story with a roof on the top. Just very sort of bland, generic looking building.
Blood lamps pointed at empty walls.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And you hear a spooky noise. Okay, I'm done with the animated voiceover. But the point is, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Sedan pulls up to this museum. Bunch of people get out. Mm-hmm. And they are clearly intent on taking down the pride flag outside of this museum.
Okay.
So their first genius idea. Now, I don't really want to recommend this. I don't want to say it.
Right. In case
other hooligans are inspired by this method.
Ruffians, perhaps.
Ruffians. Yes. Ne'er-do-wells. They're all up to no good. So these ruffians, they took out a sock. Now, the police have not issued a statement as to whether or not the sock was on their feet prior to the crime, or if they took it off in the heat of the moment, as it were. But they then,
or whether or not it was a left sock or a right sock.
This is true. It could have been a unifoot sock. Who knows?
They're all unifoot, but that's the joke.
But that's, yeah. they tried lighting a sock. Now, the museum director was unsure.
What does lighting a sock on fire have to do with taking down
It's not clear. It seems that the working hypothesis right now is that they were going to then take a flaming sock and sort of toss it up to hit the flag. Now, because of physics, that didn't work. That
you need to put a weight in there. They have too much surface area. They're too much wind resistance.
Sock. I don't know if it's the best.
You'd need to huck that thing like Superman to get it high
and
enough.
A really good aim. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah,
unless you're gonna weight flaming inside. Sock.
So they tried it. They were like, this is obviously not gonna work. They were like, I know.
Okay. Right.
Bring the flag closer to the sock. That's how you commit a crime.
Why does it have to be a sock? Just bring the flag closer to the fire. I think these are Florida man types of criminals.
Well, Stittsville, so, you know, not that far off. But yeah, they then try to break down and pull down the flag, but they were thwarted by the flag. So far they've been defeated by a sock and a flag. And this is when they pull out the big guns, not literally guns.
Right.
It's more the 4x4 engine of their vehicle, where they hooked up a rope, a chain or something to the flagpole and took down the whole flagpole.
Okay.
Because then they had succeeded and they stole the flag and drove off. Now, if anyone knows where they can get a pride flag for about $20, this museum would like to know, because the thieves also forgot their sock, a water bottle, and a $20 note. So, I mean, I don't know if it was to help replace it. Now, weird twist of events, the Diefenbunker.
Yes.
Which is a Cold War era museum bunker based on, well, it's a bunker from the Cold War era, which is now a museum, which is actually quite close to where all this was happening.
Okay, I know the general neighborhood. Yeah, for those who've not been to the Diefenbunker, if you've ever played any of the Fallout games, it's kind of like that. They basically built a facility underground that could just be a substitute for Parliament in the case of a nuclear fallout. It's about the size of a high school. It's like they took an entire high school, put it underground, and just buried it. That's the Diefenbunker. It's the middle of nowhere. It was meant to look like a big old farmer's field so that it wouldn't be a target. And then the enemy discovered it. And they're like, well, this is useless now. May as well make a museum out of it.
This is true. They have donated a new flag.
What about the flagpole? Those things are expensive to put up.
Well, I think the museum's going to try and raise some funds, rustle up some cash. You know, really what this shows is, one, you can't ignite a flag that is 10 feet in the air with a flaming sock. They also could not ignite the sock.
Why don't they just use the pulley system to bring it closer to the ground?
You know, Sebastian, if you were a criminal mastermind, I think you would have had this done in, you know, 2 minutes from.
Do you know, actually, talking about criminal mastermind, I'm sorry, this is a bit of an aside, but I admitted to my mother the other day that when I was a child, whenever there were squares in the fridge, like brownies, date squares, Nanaimos, that kind of thing, I would cut off a piece that was 1 centimeter wide and the length of the pan. So it was the total volume of a normal piece, but it was incredibly narrow so that it visually looked like the same pan. And my mother admitted that she did the exact same thing. And this is in the family chat. My brother was like, "You bastards," because he never did that. But yeah, it's clever, not smart. That's the trick to pulling off a caper. And then my mom, because she knew people were stealing ice cream, she would eat ice cream with a fork. Because you'd have those distinct fork marks in the ice cream.
Oh.
So whenever I opened the ice cream tub as a kid and I saw fork marks, I would just put it right back. And she was like, "Yeah, I knew what I was doing." So yeah, it was a, yeah, I don't know why they didn't just use the pulley system to bring the flag closer to the ground, unless they couldn't figure out the knot, but the knots that you use to hold
the rope in place
they're not complex.
These are some ne'er-do-wells,
okay,
some ruffians who have taken umbrage with a flag 7 foot in the air,
right,
outside of a museum in the middle of January.
If they couldn't figure out how to bring a flag closer to the ground, I'm just going to assume they were all either drunk or on the devil's cabbage.
I just think they're idiots. That's my
or both. My theory. Or all three. Yeah.
Yeah. My conclusion is when you pick a fight with a flagpole and lose, you are the idiot in that scenario. Well, that's sort of where we're at. Now, moving on, Manitoba might just get a little bit better organized.
Okay.
We are huge fans of, and I'm going to tell you some words here,
right?
Capacity.
Ooh, what kind of capacity?
And alignment.
Ooh.
Coordinated development.
Oh, okay.
I know. This is, you're going to need 5 minutes and a napkin, but
what kind? That's the thing.
Province of Manitoba recently gave Pride Manitoba? Is it Pride Winnipeg? I forget which Pride it was. Pride Winnipeg.
Okay.
Some funding.
All right.
To help kind of coordinate a bit of what's going on. Every town and city has their own Pride parade. There's a bunch of different organizations. A couple of them sort of serve the whole province. A lot of them serve just sort of the communities that you can physically get to for the organization where it's based. And what they're trying to do now, which I think is quite exciting, is they're creating a bit of a coalition, a bit of a pride coalition with all of the LGBT organizations in the province.
Okay.
It is the Manitoba Pride Alliance.
Okay.
That is being launched. It's not just smaller organizations, it's the biggest ones in the province, such as Winnipeg Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for me, it makes sense. It does, because you know you have a pride event happening, which is going to bring people out of their homes to a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good time to be tabling for the service you provide.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's a really good time to have an evening event, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really good time to have also a workshop that's relevant to that community.
Right.
So now they can have much better impact by pooling and sharing resources, just more effective time management.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the queer community has always shown we're better together than sort of siloed and othered and off on our own. So, yeah, Sebastian, I was very excited by the Manitoba Pride Alliance. Well,
Manitoba runs into the same problem that most of Canada has, being that they have a few. Well, it's big. They have a few urban centers, and then mostly it's countryside, with the exception of Prince Edward Island, which